Today, I'm going to talk about Satan and his demons in society and in the religious beliefs of people. Not all of what I say is based on clear facts and the Bible. Some are my conclusions from my own analysis drawn from the evidence, and it could be speculative. You must judge for yourselves. Satan's actions and involvement are often subtle and hidden. That's why it's difficult. We will start from what we know from the Bible. We know that Satan deceived the whole world and was cast down to earth at some point. Revelation 12, verse 9. The great dragon was hurled down, that great serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. We know also that he drew a third part of the angels with him in rebellion against God. Verse 4 of Revelation 12. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. Also says in Ephesians 2 verse 2, he has the power of the air and works in people who are disobedient. As for you, it says in Ephesians 2 verse 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He influences the rebellious. We are in a battle, as we know. But we're not in a battle against people. We're in a battle against spiritual powers. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is illustrated in the book of Daniel, where it reveals that there are spiritual powers behind each nation's leaders. This is another dimension that we can't see. It was a situation where Daniel was praying to God for 3 weeks, and finally, in Daniel 10, verse 12, Daniel 10, verse 12. He said, the angel said, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Verse 13 of Daniel 10. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And at the end of his prophecy, in verse 20 of Daniel 10, he says, so he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and then when I go, the prince of Greece will come. He's not talking about physical rulers. He's talking about the spiritual powers behind the physical rulers. So I'm going to look at several popular doctrines and then some other modern matters. First, the Trinity. You know, the Trinity was not found in the Bible, is not found in the Bible. And it was not even found in Christianity till the 4th century. But it is found throughout the pagan world in the form of trinities or triads of gods, from Babylon to Egypt. In Egypt, it was Osiris, Isis, and Horus. In India, it was Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Rome, it was Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva. The Viking Trinity was Odin, Thor, and Frey. And then there were three pure ones in Taoism, which is an Eastern religion. And the Greeks had the Gorgons with one head, one body, and three heads. This all goes back to Genesis 10, verse 8, when Nimrod, his wife, mother, Semiramis, and their son, Tammuz, were reigning. In verse 8 of Genesis 10, it says, Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. And in chapter 11 of Genesis, they set up the Tower of Babel. And in Genesis 11, verse 8 to 9, God scattered the people around the world, and they took their beliefs with them. Now the whole world had one language and one common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in China and Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar it for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the people, the tower that the people were building. Verse 8 and 9, he says, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the languages of the whole earth. From here the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. The image of human heads and on animal bodies and animal heads on human bodies reminds me of what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 1, verse 4 to 10. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1, verse 4 to 10. Then I looked up, and behold, a whirlwind was coming, and out of the north a great cloud with raging fire, engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst, like the colour of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calf's feet. They sparkled like the colour of burnished bronze. The hands of man were under their wings, and on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. And for the likenesses of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, their wings stretched upward, two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their body. So this is a description of the throne of God with the angels. The angels don't look like human beings in reality. They only look like human beings when they appear to human beings. They follow more the pattern of animals. I believe from this that the Trinity is actually patterned after the three named cherubim, Michael, Gabriel, and Hillel. That was the name of Satan before he became Satan. Satan promoted or copied what he knew from heaven onto the pagan religions. That's what it seems to me. Now, the next belief is heaven. All the pagan religions have some concept of heaven. The Encyclopedia Britannica says that heaven, in many religions, is the abode of the gods, the angels, the deified gods, and the blessed dead. The deified dead and the blessed dead. World mythology abounds in stories of attempts to invade heaven, such as the Greek flight of Icarus. You may have heard that, where he tried to fly up and flew too near the sun and his wings melted. But also there's the Hindu legend of the conquest of heaven by the demon king Bali. Such attempts have always come to a bad end. In the myths are echoes of what Satan attempted to do as he set out in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the clouds, the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. It was Satan's goal to go to heaven and take over. And it seems to me that he put this belief of going to heaven into the world's religions. The Bible actually says that heaven is coming to the earth. Revelation 21, verse 1 to 3. Revelation 21, verse 1 to 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That's talking about God the Father coming to earth. The next belief is hell. In the pagan religions, people thought of hell as the underworld, where evil people went, where demons lived. Most of Christianity has derived their belief of hell from the work of Dante Alighieri, and a particular book called The Divine Comedy, where hell is full of fire with demons torturing people. But it also includes an area of frozen blood and guilt. These ideas appear to come from the Egyptian religion. In Greece and Roman mythology, hell was a gloomy, deep gloomy place, a pit where people were tormented, and people crossed the river of the dead to reach it. This sounds remarkably like the fate of Satan and his demons for the 1,000 years, as set out in Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed him, sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must set be set free for a short time. And in verse 14 and 15, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is a second death. I believe this is where Satan and his demons got their idea of hell. Now we come to another subject, is the family. God told Israel not to sacrifice their children to pagan gods in Leviticus 18 verse 21. Leviticus 18 verse 21. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Just get a drink of water. All this talk of hell has made me thirsty. This practice of sacrificing children was common around the world. In India, the Hindus did it until the British stopped it. The Romans used to kill their girl babies by exposure. The Aztecs often slaughtered 11,000 children on a major feast day till the Spanish stopped it. The same is true of the Inca and Maya cultures, and pre-Islamic Arabia also practiced child sacrifice. Even in modern Uganda, there are instances of child sacrifice. And one organization has named 25 cultures that were involved in human sacrifice. This is an attack on the family in the same way as abortion. God told man in Genesis 1:22, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and increase in numbers and fill the earth in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. God wants people to have children. And in Genesis 2, Genesis 2, verse 18 to 24. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the fresh flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And in verse 24, Moses says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So God created marriage. In this world, in the West, they're trying to redefine that. And in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Man was made to be like God in certain qualities. And if we go over to Hebrews 1, verse 5 to 6, we have something interesting. Hebrews 1, verse 5 to 6. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. Again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. The relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ is different from the relationship between God and the angels. And he goes on in Hebrews 2, verse 9 to 10. Hebrews 2, verse 9 to 10. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he may taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of that salvation perfect through what he suffered. Christ will bring many other sons to glory. And it goes on to say in 1 John 3, verse 1 to 2, 1 John 3, verse 1 to 2, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know when Christ appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. So, God is creating a family, and Christ is the firstborn son with other sons to follow. We're going to be like God in the family of God. So that's our position. But look back in Luke 20, verse 34. Luke 20, verse 34. Jesus replied, he'd been questioned regarding a woman who had seven husbands. And the Pharisees had asked him who it would be. Sadducees had asked him who it would be, who would be her husband in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection for the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. The angels don't marry. The angels don't have families. That's what it implies, to my mind. Bearing this in mind, this explains why Marxism de-emphasizes the importance of the individual and family and focuses on the whole, the group. Everyone sacrifices for the group. It's quite anti-family and anti-individual. It seems to me that Satan is reflecting the way that the angels and the demons operate. In addition, Satan knows that mankind can become God's family, and he knows that he and his demons are not a family and cannot join God's family. Satan wants to destroy the family, including the whole family of God, so that humans would not be able to join the family of God in the long run. This seems to be a motivation for Satan. Finally, we come to something modern. Although the attack on the family has been going on a long time, Satan, there is an attack on the West. All-out attack on the Western world and white people. Now here's a thought. You may not know the identity of the modern day 10 tribes of Israel, but remember, Satan knows where they are. Satan knows who they are. So who do you think Satan is attacking in their minds, their religious convictions, and their spiritual lives? Satan is not attacking China or India. He's attacking the West, and particularly America and Britain. So why are America and Britain under attack for slavery? Remember that Britain stopped slavery almost 200 years ago and also confiscated the slave owners and then used the Royal Navy for the next 200 years to stop the slave trade. Why are Spain and Portugal not being attacked? Because they sent more slaves to Central and Southern America than they ever sent to the USA. Why are the Arabs not under attack? Because they were major people involved in slavery for centuries. Why does the colonialism of Britain and the USA get constantly criticized, and not a word about the colonialism by the French, the Belgians, the German colonies? The fact is that Britain and America created the modern world's prosperity with the rule of law, the Industrial Revolution, the English language, and the spread of Christianity. It's remarkable that when China wanted to crack down on the rule of law in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong people protested, they objected. They learned the value of the rule of law. Now, are we supposed to be ashamed of what the promises given to Abraham have achieved? So where is this attack coming from? It's a question to ask. It follows, in conclusion, it follows that if Satan is the ruler of this world, his influence would be everywhere. You can't be ruler of the earth and be off in a corner somewhere. In John 14, verse 30, Christ said just before his crucifixion, his arrest, "I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me." In the days of the Apostle Paul, paganism was overt and was everywhere, in your face. Everywhere outside of Palestine, you could see pagan temples and pagan worship. Now you have to go away from the West to find paganism. It's hidden in the Western world. Yet, Paul said of the pagan worship in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to be participants with demons. In reality, the majority of the humans are still worshipping demons, but they are deceived. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 15 to 16, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? In reality, there's only really two choices, the one that leads to death, and the one that leads to eternal life. And in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 to 20, he says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are blessed to know the truth, that God will intervene and sort out the whole mess that we see before us. I want to finish with reading Psalm 37, verses 1 to 8. Psalm 37, verse 1 to 8, as an encouragement to you. Psalm 37, verse 1 to 8. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. The situation is only temporary. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. But evildoers shall be cut off, verse 9. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. This is something to bear in mind in these evil days.